Translation by dear thing removed, and unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of a great devotee, one cannot realize the absolute truth, one cannot realize the absolute truth by observance, however sweet, strictly following the rules and regulations of household life. Leaving home is a vanaprastha, except the sannyasa, offered by severe penances in water, by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in sun, by fire, and scorching heat of the sun. There are many processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one in the mercy of a great devotee. For actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Vedeshu, Durlabha, Mandurlabha, Mahamabhato. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life by following the directions of the Vedas. And as such, a pure devotee, Anyabhilashi Dasanyam Gyana Karma Dinavrata, by the grace of such a devotee, one can understand the absolute truth, Krishna, and one's relationship with him. A materialistic person sometimes thinks this is by executing pious activities and remaining at home and can't understand the absolute truth that is denied in this verse, nor can one understand the absolute truth simply by observing the rules and regulations of Brahmacharya. One only has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth. Text 13. Who are the pure devotees mentioned here? In the assembly of pure devotees, there is no question discussing material subjects like politics and sociology. In the assembly of pure devotees, there is discussion only of the qualities, forms, and pastimes which the personality is on. He is praised and worshipped with full attention. In the association of pure devotees, by constantly hearing such topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into the existence of the absolute truth abandons this idea and gradually becomes attached to the surface of philosophy. Purport is that there's a pure devotee described in this verse, the pure devotee is simply interested in material topics, she takes me about the scripture for the visible to talk about worldly matters. Gramya Partha na Kaibe, one should not indulge in talking unnecessarily about the views of the material world. One should not waste time in this way. This is a very important feature in the life of a devotee. A devotee has no other ambition than to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Krishna consciousness movement was started to engage people 24 hours daily with the service of the Lord and his glorification. The students in the institution engaged in cultivation of Krishna consciousness from 5 in the morning to 10 at night. They actually have no opportunity to waste their time unnecessarily by discussing politics, sociology, and current events. These will go in their own way. A devotee is given only by serving Krishna possibly seriously. So the statement here is that although one may do these other processes, such as observing the ashramas of brahmacharya, vinyasa, vanaprastha, or sannyas, doing austerities, doing worship, etc. If one does not get the mercy of devotees, then everything is unsuccessful. So this indicates, of course, that the goal is not simply impersonal. Because impersonalism can be attained through the process of jnana, which does not require devotees. So the process of bhakti requires devotees, mercy. So he says here at Mahakala Raja Vishekha, one is the foot dust of great devotees, or the mercy of great devotees. So this indicates that the goal is not anything other than Bhagavan and bhakti and prema. So though he started out in a rather impersonal looking way, Jadvara ultimately concludes in a very devotional way. So he's only used a strategy in order to preach to the king. So here he is summarized now by saying that these other processes of austerity and following rules of scripture, etc., they're not to be rejected, but at the same time, if one does not get the association of devotees, then it all becomes useless. So one has to get the mercy of devotees. So that is say devotional association. Why necessary, in spite of the fact that we do have devotional scriptures, etc., is that generally people will not come to a devotional conclusion. They will have other conclusions. So therefore, it is a devotee who reveal the scriptures concerning bhakti. One may read the Bhagavad Gita or other literatures, but one may not come to the right conclusion. So it is through the devotees that one learns the actual process of devotion to the Lord. So therefore these devotees are necessary for that. And then the next verse discusses who is the devotee. The devotee is one who discusses about the qualities, activities, name, form of the Lord. He's not interested in material subjects. So it talks about the assembly of devotees, and they simply praise the Supreme Lord. And if one gets their association, then even though those who are involved in impersonal realization, they will give that up, and they will also take to bhakti, devotional service. So, Jagvarak not only talked about the mercy of the devotees, he specifically described the nature of the devotee. So the nature of the devotee is one who is absorbed in talking about and praising the Supreme Lord in all ways. So explicitly he's a devotee of the Lord. So it is through this person that one can get the mercy. So to illustrate the point, therefore, he says that even the impersonalist will give up impersonalism and take to the practice of bhakti by that association. So the therefore the path of bhakti is open to everybody, but it requires the mercy of association of devotees, and then it becomes possible for everyone. So the other processes are mentioned and described in the scripture also. They're not necessarily rejected. So in that they are favorable, they may be practiced. And different people will practice different things, different ashramas, according to their qualification. So along with that, they have to practice bhakti. If it is without bhakti, it is also useless. If bhakti is only a minor factor, again, it is not proper. So these things have to be secondary to the process of bhakti. In other words, it is bhakti which decides how much these other principles do, not that bhakti, how much bhakti is decided by these other principles. In other words, we're absorbed in sannyas duties, and to the extent we're absorbed in that, then we limit our time of bhakti. So it's not, it's the opposite. Rather, we do the bhakti, and secondary processes may be done, but they are limited. Some degree, only they are practiced so they're favorable for the development of bhakti. And that bhakti develops through the association of devotees. It's through them that one will understand the nature of bhakti and be able to practice properly. Okay? So one gets knowledge, some of the jnana, devotional knowledge. One gets knowledge of the process, how to practice pure bhakti, as opposed to mixed bhakti, secondary bhakti. And one is directed towards the goal, that is prema. So all of this is imparted by the devotees of the Lord. Without that, it'll be a little difficult for a person simply to come to the proper conclusions in the scriptures, in the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavad Gita. It'll be difficult.
because we see the conclusions are not mentioned methodically, they're scattered here and there in different places. So it requires someone to pull everything out and put it together in a consistent process. So this is what the devotees understand and do. So without that information from the devotees, then the process will become subject to various corruptions or deviations, etc. So it requires the great devotees of the Lord in all cases. So therefore the conclusion of Bhara is one of devotion, not anything else. So we should not think that when he's talking about these other things, that he's conversant or whatever, he's actually great devotee of the Lord. No, dust. Raja's dust. You sprinkle it on your body. You sprinkle the dust of a devotee on your body. Renu also was pollen from the lotus. So it's bigger, but it's not literal.
Devotees teach in two ways, one is in terms of knowledge and also in terms of practical, how they apply it, so then others, it's easier for others to learn from that.
Yeah, the knowledge and the practice, obviously. How to practice in a particular condition or whatever.
The central principles are very difficult to apply. It's easy to learn, but at the time of application, there are a lot of challenges.
Yeah. So that sort of requires some personal advice sometimes.
Maharaj, can you say that this is one way shows that Varnashram system is explained in this?
Yes.
Varnashram system is explained in this verse.
Yeah.
So that it does not produce bhakti.
No. Well, in a secondary way, since in the Varnashram system that doesn't include worship of the Lord, it's also useless. So it's there, but it's a minor factor. So it may come from some sort of bhakti, but it's not considered pure bhakti. Of course, that can lead to bhakti also if one converts that worship into pure bhakti. It can develop also, but not necessarily. So in other words, karma yoga generally will lead you to upper planetary systems and sattva guna, etc. So that worship of the Lord there does not get you out of the material world. It promotes you to higher planetary systems.
Maharaj, is this figurative or this is
figurative? Though, well, because of his mercy of the devotee. So sattva guna just gets dust and that's it. Obviously. But at the same time, for instance, Lord Chaitanya says the three valuable things, the foot dust and foot water and the prasada of the devotee. So in that sense, it seems to take a little more literally. But obviously, more important than that is the instructions.
Thank you.